guys.
It's a big day. Today is the day of our wedding dress, wedding party. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the actual wedding's happening this Saturday. Mm-hmm. More Markle dramas.
Got yes. Who hates going to the park?
Yep.
M. Yeah. Tick.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Will Anderson joined us. Lovely Will Anderson. You've got the Willosophy podcast with Will Anderson, which has come out now. Obviously, there's links to that on all of our pages.
Yes, you can get that on iTunes. We had Joanna Griggs in, Joe Griggs.
And probably one of the scariest phone calls I think we've ever received of someone calling in, Gavin from Double Bay.
Gavin
had a proposal for tonight's wedding party.
Well, wants to wear you as a hat, and that's not uncommon.
It's always fun. It's always fun. You make a nice bonnet.
That's not uncommon.
You
like a lovely little fedora.
Yeah.
Have a lovely podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
What I thought we were going to be doing this week was the normal sort of run-up to royal weddings,
mm-hmm.
like the cost. This was on TV last night, and I thought, okay, this will be a gentle thing. Have a go. This is a guy just making up, I reckon, off the top of his head, what he thinks things cost at the wedding.
So flowers is $200,000 Aussie.
Yeah.
On security, we estimate it to be from 45 to 55 million Australian dollars.
Yep.
For the cost of champagne, it'll be likely about 2,300 bottles of vintage champagne. So very likely we'll be getting close to $250,000 pounds or right. Aussie dollars.
Pull
just
that down.
On champagne.
Which one? Pounds or Aussie dollars? That's a very different thing.
And also, the idea that it's just, he's just estimating. That's what I thought we'd be doing this week.
A trillion bajillion dollars.
Yeah, on that. And you go, great, that's fun. Mm. The Markles have changed what we're doing. Because, and they're forcing everyone else into it as well. I thought the low point this week was going to be Paul Burrell. The guy who was the Diana's butler, Grant, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He was in the jungle.
Not afraid to just flat out make things up in a book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Still claiming to have some sort of connection and revealing new things about Diana.
Yeah.
Diana, like he's got some
new
sort of
things.
Like
has he been hanging on
like
for
a red
years?
Phone direct line to her.
Okay.
That's right. And he was found on TV in the back of a carriage going through London, saying what he, or the messages he'd received from Diana about how she was going to be part of the wedding. Take it away, clutching at straws, Burrell.
Watch for those little subtle hints of Diana through the day. I'll bet she carries white roses and white peonies, and that white rose will be a symbol of Diana from the White Rose Garden at Kensington Palace.
Yeah.
And she would have picked Meghan. Diana would have chosen Meghan because she's feisty, she's strong, she's everything that Harry needs.
So, a former butler saying what a passed away mother would have, that she would have picked.
She'll be there, guys.
She'll be there.
Yeah, 100%.
So you think? I thought that was going to be it. No.
There's a lower point.
The Markles have come in swinging.
Yeah.
Overnight, Good Morning Britain, Samantha Markle, the chief debacler, has gone on Piers Morgan's photograph, and they're talking about the father not being there and what's going to happen and all that. And, you know, we know the drill.
Right.
In order to defend her father and the paparazzi shots, we'll do this first. So you're wondering how close is this family? How close is Samantha Markle to Meghan Markle?
So close.
So close. So close. When was the last time you guys saw each other?
You last saw Meghan 10 years ago, is that right?
I last saw her at my graduation 10 years ago.
And have you spoken to her since?
I spoke to her in 2015. Right. Was the last time I spoke with her.
That's only 3 years ago. I mean, I know my closest friends and I... 3 years ago.
Every 3 years we get
together. That's a nice round number.
Isn't that wonderful?
No, I like that.
And now, so you think, okay, Samantha, so you saw her once 10 years ago. You spoke to her once in 2015. You can't sink any lower than that, can you? Yes, you can. Here's Samantha describing how harangued by the paparazzi her father is while he's living in Mexico. And see if you can work out the comparison she's trying to draw here.
But when he calls me panicking on the freeway because he's in a dangerous situation, being followed by 7 or 8 cars, you know, I think there have been examples in history of how dangerous that can be.
Did she just draw the Princess Di Thomas Markle Sr. bow?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it is exactly the same, guys. She's right. Can I also point out, I saw a picture of her on that show last night. The last time I saw Samantha Markle, she was blonde,
mm-hmm.
she was fair-skinned, mm-hmm. and looked nothing like Meghan, and has surfaced with a severe spray tan, mm-hmm. brown hair,
mm-hmm.
and looking, wearing the colours that you often see Meghan in, that burgundy.
Oh.
She has flat out tried to make herself look like her half-sister.
Well, Harry better be careful, because if he looks at the woman,
I'm telling you, he needs to check under that veil at Cavalli.
Make sure he marry the wrong chick.
Switcheroo. She'll be locked in the bathroom.
Whoa.
Will Anderson, good morning, mate.
I love Peter Dutton's new entry in the Beat the Bomb competition, where he's now you're allowed to just ask people at airports if they have the bomb. Yeah. So that's nice. It's good. Just loves the station, wants to get involved in the promo. Trying to help
it,
balance the budget. It'd be great if ScoMo had come out and that had been his plan on budget night. He goes, guys, I've got a bit of a plan for next year to balance up the budget. I've got a team on Beat the Bomb. I've got a team on Secret Sounds. Got a team out there trying to find the fugitive. Everything's going to be fine.
Hey, mate, Gruen, tonight, 8:30, ABC and iView. Massive new season of Gruen. And also, you and Em have a podcast out today.
Yeah, that's right. My philosophy podcast. Em came in and sat down and had an hour and a half chat with me at my house. Brought some cakes, which was...
I did.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I know Will likes a jazz cigarette, so...
Yes. he loves
well, wait, what kind of cakes were they?
Well, they weren't... No, they were normal cakes. There was four of them, four mini delicious cakes, you know, sort of, you know, like a big cake box and then four mini cakes. And then essentially... She just left me alone in a house where I don't have TV, I don't have
internet. Furniture. It's the saddest place I've ever visited.
Yeah, thank you. It's my home. I invited you into it. Thank you very much.
Is that because it's new or you just have a minimalist life?
Well, it's because it's new, but I'm trying to also embrace the idea that it might be because I have a minimalist life.
No. You don't want to buy anything without checking with your partner. That's why.
That is the major reason, Em. That is absolutely correct. But here's what I didn't need to check with my partner. Four mini cakes that I could eat by myself on my piece of furniture.
Nice. It's lovely. It is minimalist. Yep. I did let loose. It was some good fun times.
There'll be some good quotes for the paper today and tomorrow if you want to be one of the first.
Look, be the first.
There's some language that probably would get dumped on this program. We don't have a dump button on the podcast, so everything was fun and good times.
Did you embrace that opportunity then and run with it, I would imagine?
Me?
Yeah.
I got the C-bomb away four times, I reckon. Yeah. And I referred to one of those our favourite publications as that several times. So it was really cathartic. I said to Will, I walked away and cried and exercised. It felt like therapy. It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you're doing therapy now, are you, Will?
I'm actually now charging podcast guests $120 a session. Yeah, so that's my business model.
That's great.
I've finally found a way to make money out of podcasting.
You're the one. You're the one.
Now, can we ask you, are you following the royal wedding situation? We're all obsessed here. What's your take on it? The Markle debacle, as Eduardo calls it.
Oh, I love it. And no, Merkin Markle, as Amy and I are fascinated by her and her family. We love her.
Merkin Markle.
I love her family. They're just the best. Like, because clearly all she's been trying to do is get rid of them. Like,
so true.
You know, every time I see, you're looking for celebrities to, like, endorse products? They should get her to do Ancestry.com. Because I would be sending my DNA in. I would getting it checked out because...
Are you sure we're related?
I mean, honestly, it's like Captain America has found himself in a DC movie. He's surrounded by this cast of people like, who are you? What's your special powers? It's like they've walked straight off the Jerry Springer set into her life. And she's like, I've gone to Hollywood. I've become a successful actress. I'm not returning their calls. Now I'm trying to become... If you're willing to join the royal family to get away from your family...
Tells you something.
Like, it's something, right?
That tells you something. Will Anderson, we're going to finish on this. I was watching I was at the gym yesterday, and the ABC quiz show that's on every night, which his name I can't remember, was on, and there was a question that related to you.
Think Tank? Is it Paul McDermott's show?
Paul McDermott, okay.
Is that where he always wears a long coat?
Yes, that's it, and the glasses. Have a listen to this.
Okay. 2016, which Australian comedian and media personality broke the Guinness World Record for most animal sounds identified in 1 minute?
That's one I feel like I should know.
Really?
No.
Caroline.
Dave Hughes.
Will Anderson.
Ah.
Dave Hughes.
Hamish Blake.
Paul McDermott.
Will Anderson.
No.
Are you the current world record holder for most animal sounds identified in 1 minute?
Yep, absolutely.
I knew it.
That's amazing.
Where and why did that idea surface?
There was just a lot of animals around and I identified all the sounds. I don't know why you even think that's a big deal.
Got to do something in his empty house.
Just play an animal sound. I grew up on a farm, mate. Play an animal sound.
Yeah, actually, Grant's a farmer. He'll do an animal sound.
Yeah, just do one, mate. Go on, do an animal sound now. cow.
Okay, well done.
Wow.
Wow. You're extraordinary.
Credentials proved and Gruen tonight. It is 8:30 on ABC and iView, and the Willosophy podcast with Em is out today. See you soon, mate.
Thanks, Deli.
Thank you.
Bye. My husband, he's not a tenacious chap. He's someone who just kind of maybe lets life happen to him and he just rolls with whatever comes his way.
He's a free spirit.
He is. He just accepts life. As you can imagine, that's a good attitude to be married to someone like me. Roll with it.
Chill out. Yin and yang.
Stay chill. Stay chill.
Just whatever. And so we have a beautiful, we have an open fire in our kitchen and we have to order wood each winter. Mm-hmm. Last winter, Scott rang up this bloke and ordered some wood over the phone, paid $237 for a ton of redwood to come.
Okay.
And the redwood was due to come in a week. Didn't come. Mm-hmm. Didn't come 2 weeks. Didn't come 3 weeks. Yep. Scott started phoning this guy every day. Where's my wood? The guy didn't answer. Was screening his calls every day. All of winter passed. Got into summer.
Uh-oh.
Still no wood.
No.
Scott drove to the place.
Oh, wow.
All shut up. Nothing.
Okay.
Shut up. Gone.
It's closed down.
Gone. And so, obviously, we've just winters all of a sudden hit us again.
Yeah.
And Scott was, we were laying in bed the other night. You know how ideas come to you just at like 10 o'clock at night? He goes, we still haven't had our wood delivered.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, let it go. Sometimes you just got to let that go.
Could have grown some wood in this time.
Pretty much. And chopped it down.
Yeah.
He said, nah, I'm going to get that wood.
Yeah,
and so I have to report to you that yesterday we had a ton of redwood delivered.
You got hold of the bloke.
Because Scott Barrow went to the place where the wood was stored.
Yeah.
He sat in his car. And he waited there for 3 hours. Scott's not working at the moment, so he's got a lot of...
Yes.
And he waited for the guy to turn up. The guy had changed his number. Scott believes just to avoid his singular phone call.
Just him, no one else.
Scott confronted the wood supplier.
Remember me?
Yes. Do you remember me? You owe me a ton of redwood.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, mate, I don't remember you. So Scott got his bank. He had his bank stuff on hand to show him the withdrawal.
That's great.
This is a man who takes 5 hours in the morning to get up. He has to get up. So if he started work at 9, he'd get up at 5 to do the 3-poo run, get dressed, pack his lunch. He's not someone who he likes to be.
Spontaneous.
He had a bank statement that he had to get printed.
Good man.
And highlighted.
Yeah.
And said, I want my wood. This guy must have just thought, oh, my God, this man has been pursuing me for 12 months. But yesterday.
And?
It came.
Was he proud when he came home? Because it is like being a hunter and a gatherer.
Yeah.
So he would feel that he's come home and provided for his family. Was he proud?
He was so excited. He was beside himself. He said, Em, it came. I'm like,
congratulations, mate.
I'm so proud of you. But I said, well, mine went to because I'm anxious and Italian. He's turned up to a place with an axe.
Yeah, that's
demanding.
What I thought.
Like, isn't that gangster?
Yeah.
My little Scotty's turned up there, admittedly.
Yeah, Scott had an axe.
No. The guy had an axe.
Oh, right. Yeah, good.
And Scott had changed, I now found out, had changed his riding route to ride past there every Saturday morning.
Scoping the joint out.
To check when this guy's hours were. So he's been on a secret ops operation for the last 9 months over this $247 load of wood.
It's almost like if Scott spent that time working.
Thank you. Imagine or just remembering to make me breakfast in bed on Mother's Day.
That's what this is about.
Is this one of those things where in 6 months' time he's going to realise, oh, actually, I did change suppliers and I've hit up the wrong bloke.
He's just stolen wood off some poor guy.
Today FM's $100,000.
Beat the bomb.
Beat the bomb.
3 minutes past 7, huge hour of the show. We're going live to London for our royal correspondent, Peter Anderson.
So much to talk about. Thomas Markle Sr. is apparently back in hospital, even though he wants to go. Mm. So it's just hectic.
There is so much going on with the royal wedding, but it's time for Beat the Bomb. And we say hello to Sally from Gledswood. Morning, Sally.
Morning, guys. I can't believe this. I'm shaking at the moment.
Oh, hey, Joel, are you free? Are you free tonight?
You know what, Em? I am.
Would you like to come along to our royal wedding dress party where there's a wedding happening?
I would love to wear that dress after 15 years, yes.
Yes! You're
already a winner!
Actually, you know what? Everyone we speak to today,
yep.
if you want to come along, we found some extra tickets. We're at Luna Park tonight. It's going to be great. So if you speak to us, or if you're just involved, if you feel like getting involved, 131060, come along to it. We've got a few tickets left. It's going to be great. Samantha Jade's performing. Let's see if we can't give you some money as well, Sally. How much
Hopefully.
Are you hoping? What are you hoping for?
Well, we haven't been on a holiday for 7 years, so we're actually going overseas to Turkey in a couple of months' time. So a bit of extra spending money would be great.
Okay. That's nice.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, here we go. The cash bomb has been loaded. All you need to do is yell stop before the bomb goes off. Do that and you'll take home the last cash amount revealed. But if the bomb beats you to it, then you walk away empty-handed. Does that make sense? Are you ready to light the fuse, Sally?
Light the fuse, Ed.
Light the fuse.
$1,000. $1,200.
Sally, that's the game. Oh,
it started high, but went fast.
It did.
Can I say to you,
that's okay.
Go hard on your outfit tonight because we are giving away a holiday. So
to Vanuatu.
So maybe that's the way you'll get a holiday. So come along tonight.
Maybe. Hopefully.
All right. Good luck.
Hey, Sally, lush gift pack for you. Beautiful lush gift pack. Just for a little something.
Oh, thank you so much.
Nice lady.
Close your eyes and think of turkey.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
we'll see you tonight. Hey, House Rules is going massive on Channel 7 at the moment, and the host, Jo Griggs, is going to join us in a moment because she's been doing this now, 10 years?
It's an incredible run, isn't it?
What does she think of these people who just rock up, no experience in the world, and they want to become interior designers / builders
and put five feature walls in a house.
Yeah.
Which defeats the term feature wall, idiot.
Joe Griggs next. Today FM. Grant Daniel, you've got some, what? Well, I don't know if it's news, it's just a statistic.
Interesting, you're presenting this too.
Wow. I never thought we'd see this. Shut up. Australia is so vain. Australia has officially overtaken America as the country with the most cosmetic surgery operations per capita. You know how many? 500,000. Cosmetic procedures in the last year alone. That's $1 billion. $1 billion worth of procedures.
What were the top five? Go from five to one.
Okay. Laser was number five.
Just general laser. You get your face lasered now, guys. That's
What does laser
do?
That
gets rid of pigmentation. So if you've got like a bit of sun damage, you can. Well, my mum's getting it done, on her hands and her arms because, she was out in the garden a lot.
So that counts as cosmetic surgery. Yeah. I wouldn't have put that on the list.
But you've got to go to a cosmetic-y place that does other things to get it done.
But that's not the same laser that like burns out
tattoos? Yeah, you
tattoos?
Can do that on the top layer of your face so you look younger.
Mm. Oh, you sort of take off
you
the top layer.
You take off like a layer.
Yeah, so.
So it makes, take off a layer?
Makes collagen.
Oh, take off 10, doll. Gone, take off 50.
Produces okay. collagen.
Take them all
to
off till I'm just a skull.
Okay, so and then, it comes, then what's the next one?
Dermal fillers.
So no, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's what old mate had done on Married
Tracy,
at First Sight.
Yeah.
Dean?
Yeah, Dean. Yeah, dermal fillers.
Plumps your cheeks, doesn't it? And fills out your hollows.
So anywhere you've sunken in, which is what happens in your old age, you can puff back out again. But what happens is Madonna's done it too. You end up looking a bit bubbly, especially if you go on the telly, the lights hit a certain way, and you can look a little bit Frankenstein-y.
And a bit like a cat as well.
Tracy's had it all taken out.
Tracy's had it all taken out. That would be painful. Okay, next.
Botox is in at number three, $350 million worth of Botox.
How much is Botox and how much do you... you don't just go and get one sort of giant syringe. It's done in stages, is it
how
not?
How much, Grant? How much is Botox?
I don't know. I can't
like,
do syringes.
Just say for the line you had done in between your eyebrows, how much was that?
I don't do it. I don't have it.
It's $250 a go. I've had it done.
And how many goes do you get?
Depends how many frowns you have. They measure it in units, like how much of the botulism you use.
Do they cut you off? Like if you go in there and you're already to the hilt, they would say...
Oh, I've had doctors who just like, go for it. Do they cut you off?
Hang on, Kim Jong-un, our executive producer.
Kim Jong-un's here, guys. Where is they usually cut hang on, 29 units.
Hang on, they cut you off after how many units?
29, around there.
How do you
get it done? I don't
but
care.
Hang on, $250 a unit. And 29 units.
No, it's only $10 or something.
No, it's $10. But it's $250 a area, a go.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. Like a sectione.
You
know
so there's like a, is there like a responsible service of Botox?
You know what Botox is? It's the new teeth whitening. You know what I mean? Like everyone.
Yeah, it doesn't seem.
It's what teeth whitening was 5 years ago.
Had some teeth whitening?
I had teeth whitening done, I reckon, 10 years ago and haven't done it since.
Mm. It's stuck, mate.
I did it for my wedding and that was it.
I can't believe Botox isn't number one. Then boob jobs is number two, which is, I get.
20,000?
I'm getting my boobs done 100%. So print that Daily Mail.
So does that mean that's 10? That's not 10,000
yeah, that
times
boob?
Two.
Yeah.
That's not, is it? That's for the two. My favorite statistic. Yeah, a set. My favorite statistic about boob jobs is a bloke that I know who has paid for four separate boob jobs for four separate girlfriends over the years.
Oh. Wow.
Broke
up.
What's his name?
No, they broke up. Every relationship broke up. And then he married a girl, no enhancement at all. And that's it. So he paid for these four boob jobs. Those relationships broke up. And then the woman he married, no boob job.
Oh, really?
So are you saying the boob job broke them up?
I'm just saying that, you know, these ladies are now...
He invested in their chest and didn't get to follow through with his investment.
Mm. Well, yeah, they were sort of... Well, they're still out there, and big shout out to those ladies.
Big shout out to those boobs.
After four, what does he do? He just walks in the door and goes, I'll have package number three, thank you.
Okay. Number one, though, hypo. Liposuction. Oh. That seems savage.
Yeah, 30,000 liposuction procedures.
I haven't had anything, but my wife, we were in Bali, and there was a Russian gentleman that was doing what most Russian gentlemen do, particularly in their middle age, which is find the smallest pair of budgie smugglers they can.
Amazing.
And parade. And
I thought you were going to say wear a long leather coat and kidnap someone's daughter.
He may have done that at night, but as he was walking past us, he was wearing the budgie smugglers, and he was, how do I put this, hanging low.
Nice. Whoa. Oh, yeah, I feel you. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was hanging.
How low, knee?
No, just sort of mid-thigh.
Great.
Wow. And
great. Really making the like.
An ankle basher.
Fantastic.
An ankle basher.
Because I think there's just a tendon that they can nick, which gives you the extension.
And Tiff said to me.
You can get a ball lift.
Yep. Tiff said.
Shut the door.
Tiff said that as he wandered past, she said, Dal, if ever they get that low, you're going to have to get them picked up.
I didn't know you could do that.
And I said, I'll just staple them to my thigh. Now, Maddie is here with us. And I think Maddie might speak to something here because what the doctor that's quoted in the story, he says that younger and younger people are having this done. Now, Maddie, good morning.
Good morning.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
You're 21.
Maddie?
And what have you had, Maddie?
I just had some injections, like, in my forehead because, like, it was so wrinkly. I just couldn't deal.
21?
Maddie, you are 21 years old. You should not be getting Botox and fillers.
Yeah.
What have you got to fill, doll?
I'm getting my photos taken. So this is what I'm going to be remembered by.
What photos are you getting taken?
My wrinkly forehead.
Which photos are they at 21? What photos?
No, it's just my prime time.
Oh, now, is this common? Do you have other friends that are doing the same thing, or are you on your own here?
Some friends followed my lead, but the others are like, oh, we'll stick to growing up and seeing our faces do their own thing. Yeah.
21. I think that's irresponsible dealing of Botox. I really do.
Maddie's of age.
Yeah, but Maddie, she hasn't lived enough life to have a wrinkle.
But she'll never have one now.
Oh, ever.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Or look surprised, sad,
preemptive.
Or angry ever again.
thank you, Maddie.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant, and Ned by downloading the Today FM app.
I have been with my husband nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
So we are well into...
You guys can keep it going, though. You keep the home fires burning.
Oh, we do, but we don't, like... You both of you were in very lovey-dovey relationships, and there was an article from Tiff, and it was great. She was talking about, you know, the harsh lessons she's learned in the last year of being a mother. Ooh. And it is. It's hectic.
Sure
and
is.
It was great. But then I noticed a little line that was basically, you guys say that you should have got married on your second date and had a baby on your third.
Which is incorrect.
Are you saying news.com got it wrong?
No, I'm saying that Tiff may have misquoted us. It is, we should have got married on our first date and had a baby on our second.
Which I don't know that biologically that works, but I like it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you guys are very smooshy. Like,
no,
you're
not smoochy.
Okay, you get teary when you talk about your
wife.
No, I
don't.
Yes, you do.
Sorry. Sorry, what? You know that how radio works, that if you say something and record it, I can then bring it back to use against you. It's like an elaborate marriage trick.
Yes, it is.
This is Ed Cavalli not getting emotional.
No,
definitely
yes,
not getting emotional. No tears.
Now we have our gorgeous son, Arnold, who is so lucky to have you as his mother. Watching... The example that you're setting with him makes me appreciate everything you do for us more and more every day. We hold dear every moment we get to spend with you, my love.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's better than The Notebook.
No emotion there at all. That was for International Women's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And so, look, 1360, does your love make other people sick? We've got Tiff from tiffxo.com on the phone now. Tiff.
Hi, Em.
Hi, honey. Is Ed quite smooshy emotional? Is he very loving?
really loving. On my wedding day, I didn't shed one tear. I was in the zone. I was on. It was a big day. Didn't want to wreck the makeup.
No.
And Ed just cried all day. Aww. In every photo, he's got his hanky out. And my friends were like, what's
something in my
wrong
eye
with him? My dad's like this hardcore like martial arts instructor. And he's like, why is he crying? But he's so beautiful. And that's what I love about him. And you're right, Ed. We should have got married on the first. Why do you... No, you know what? That's your fault, because we've been together. We were 10 years together before you proposed. What was wrong with you?
Whoa.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yes,
we were
that's
not together
on you, babe. That's on you. And we're not going to have our fight here on air.
Are we in a Rachel and Ross situation? Were you guys on a break for a little while and you're not counting that time?
Look, we're together and it's beautiful and we're married. And the point is, we should have got married a lot earlier.
But why is there a discrepancy on how long you took to propose?
Because there's a...
He thinks I exaggerate, but you're just not on top of it, Ed. It's 10 years we were together. I was waiting until I marched you into that jewelry shop on the way to the gym and said, get me this ring right now.
This is a true story. We went into a jewelry store and the gentleman who was running it, who was Cartier's great-grandson, he told us on the way in, and I thought, I'm in trouble here.
Yeah.
He locked a steel grate behind us. Jean-Claude. He locked a grate behind us, and we weren't allowed to leave until we had an engagement ring.
Tiff, what's the most romantic thing that he's done for you? Like, what? And how many times a week is he crying? Like,
don't cry all week.
It's not the crying. It's like, you know, you guys know how brutal it can be getting up early, and then you've all got stuff that you do as well as the breakfast radio, so you can be pretty shattered come Sunday.
Yeah.
He will get up at like 6 and help with Arnold so that I can sleep in. And I mean, it's not roses and chocolates and stuff, but it allows me to feel a bit normal for the day. And that's so romantic.
So romantic. You know? Where's that guy at work every day? Why do I get Terminator Ed? Ed doesn't drive to work. He just appears from the wall behind me and sits in his seat.
Why are we focusing on me here? Tiff does. I take boiled eggs to work, and Tiff will sometimes write little love notes on my boiled eggs.
What sort of stuff? What sort of gear do you get on the note?
Just like love you, you know.
You're a good egghead. You're a good egghead.
That's good. That's good.
She prints out pictures of her and our son, and she'll put them
about
in my wallet.
Sprockets.
Yeah, they're sprockets.
I found this little printer that prints direct off your phone. So print little photos of Arnold and I and put them in his wallet. So he has a collection. If you looked in there now, he'll probably have about 10 of them.
Give me your wallet.
It's not in the studio.
Get his wallet from his bag. That is disgusting. I cannot believe how much effort gets put into this relationship. Tiffany, you're making us all look bad.
Tiffxo.com. Thanks for nothing. Why isn't Grant being...
Yeah, that'll come. 131060.
It's time to go to a
song.
The
sprockets are ridiculous.
No way, Tiff. 131060. Very nice to meet you.
Does your love make other people sick? Okay?
Can we focus on Grant next, please?
Sure, but I'm going to look at the sprockets now. Anyone who gets through gets to come to the wedding dress party tonight as well. So call now if your love makes other people physically ill.
Are you the type of couple that just your love makes other people sick?
You do nice little things for each other. You leave notes. You make noises. You put in effort.
But you can't talk, Em. You just told us something very romantic with your husband.
Scott started making the bed because he listened to a podcast by a guy named Tim Ferriss who told him he should make his bed.
Romance purposes?
No, just because that's a habit of a highly effective person.
So you had no effect on him, but he listened to a podcast of an absolute stranger and now he does it.
Yeah, so romantic. I get a tap on the shoulder now, guys. 20 years.
That's nice.
Rebecca in Kellyville, are you in a relationship that makes other people sick? Do you guys do nice little things?
Nice and naughty little things. Good morning, everybody. Ooh, how are you?
Here we go.
What do you do?
Well, you know what? My daughter's driving beside me and she was like, oh, my God, you should ring in because you make us sick. And our eldest is 18. And I'm like, we are very, very, obviously appropriately affectionate when the kids are around and very inappropriately affectionate when they're not around.
Rebecca, what's the secret there? 20 years of marriage, you're still mad about each other. What's your secret? How do you keep it going?
Do you know what it is? I was 15 when I met him and he was 18. And I think I can look at him now, and even though we're middle-aged, and I still see him through those eyes. He's still that gorgeous. Absolute, and we have a saying in Ireland, it's called somebody's a ride. So he's an absolute hunk, gorgeous. Gorgeous. And I still see him like that, and I presume he still sees me the same way.
Now,
but we're very, very affectionate.
Now, is your daughter currently throwing up out the window?
She is driving, Q-spread. And it's her fault because she told me I made her sick. So I thought, well, I'll make it work.
That's great advice. If you're having a little bit of trouble in your marriage, if you're able to go back and view your partner through the eyes of when you first met them, you might.
Idea.
Do you know what I mean? We've got Chez there in your
But if you went back, Chezzy, and saw how you saw Grant when you first met him, what did you think of Grant when you first met him?
I didn't like him.
Yeah.
You hated him.
Well, that was a harsh word. I just thought I was his producer, and it was Dancing with the Stars time, and I was producing him for Sunrise.
You did produce him in the end, didn't you?
We produced something or other.
I bet it was a stage spectacular.
All right. It's off air, he said that she tasted his goods, so he didn't really get any better. God.
No, we didn't like one another. I think we were very similar in personality, so we kind of clashed because we had very strong opinions on how things
version.
Should be done.
That's your version, Chez. Yeah. What did you not like about Grant Denyer?
He was a pain in the butt.
There we go.
He just was so distracted, and I just wanted him to focus on sunrise weather, but he was doing Dancing with the Stars, and he was hectic. And just wouldn't listen to locations.
Oh. And now, what is he? You know, you guys are very cute with each other. What's the most romantic thing he does now?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's great. Hang on, we do notes for each other. Like occasionally, I'll pull a shoe on, and there'll be a little note inside saying, "I love you. Have a great day." Or if I'm racing, it'll be in my helmet saying, "Best of luck. I love you so much."
Yeah,
I did win her over. I have a signature maneuver.
Jesus, do we need to know that?
Yeah, no, we do. No, it's fine. It's called the love windmill, and what I do is I.
This is a nice windmill story.
Go on.
Are your pants on?
I take it out and I swing it around and I fan her with my love. And that's the love windmill. And it's a little thing we've got. She loves it, I love it. I think I love it.
Does she love having that thing swung near her cheek?
That's the reason why I brought it up when you asked me what was the most romantic thing he does.
It's like an 80s film clip.
The most thing Grant Denyer does is swing his wang at your head. Is that what you're saying?
It's like a wind farm.
Yeah, hair's blowing and glistening. It's magical.
I'm being kicked under the desk.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's
that's
his windmill.
Not his foot. Yeah, that's not his foot, Chezzy. Thank you. Beautiful. Entertainment next. How nice.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye, when you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic, that's entertainment.
Well, a biopic I've been eagerly awaiting, as he's one of my heroes. The Bohemian Rhapsody trailer has come. Obviously, it's the story of Freddie Mercury, Queen's lead singer. We're lucky it's even here. This film has been going since 2010. Originally, Sacha Baron Cohen was attached to play Freddie, but he clashed with Brian May a lot. They've had three directors. They had one director walk out just in December, gone.
Oh, God.
And finally, they had Rami Malek. He stepped in to play Freddie Mercury last July. Now, he is from Mr. Robot, the lead in Mr. Robot. And I have to tell you, he's very convincing as Freddie Mercury.
He looks amazing. I can't believe it. It's captivating.
It is. And he also seems to have embodied the spirit and the attitude of Freddie.
Yeah.
Have a little listen.
Mamma mia, mamma mia. Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.
Goes on forever, 6 bloody minutes.
I pity your wife if you think 6 minutes is forever.
So the film also stars Mike Myers as an unrecognizable record exec.
So Borat was going to play Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, when you think about it, the teeth is right.
Got out of there. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because he just clashed. They could not get it together. So I'm really excited for that film's release. Now, going on to two rather uncomfortable interviews that have taken place in the last 24 hours. Samantha Markle, of course, the half-sister of Meghan Markle, she appeared on Good Morning Britain, and that is hosted by Piers Markle. Piers Markle.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What's happened to my brain,
Everyone's
you guys?
A Markle. It's like being John Markle.
Yes. Everywhere I see it's Markle. Now, he is, I guess, our version of Andrew Bolt, fair to say?
Yep.
Yeah, he's sort of a cross between various things, but he's sort of like a It's sunrise if it was real nasty.
Ah, okay.
That's
okay.
A right shock host.
The distinction.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, he actually did something that we've all cheered on. He had Samantha Markle on and flat out called her a media vulture.
There's no bigger media vulture with this wedding than you, is there, Miss Markle? I mean, how you have the gall to come on here and talk about media vultures? You're doing a book called The Diary of Princess Pushy's Sister. You've been trashing her for two years, you little vulture.
Oh, you little vulture.
It's good fun.
And look, Samantha Margot not having a great day. Her own daughter has come out and said, yeah, my mum's making everything up.
Nothing she has said is true about anybody. It's just her own version, her own mind, her own reality, whatever you want to call it.
Now, we're going to be talking with our UK royal correspondent, Peter Anderson, after 8 to get more of an update because the father now is he's having surgery. We don't know what's going on.
No one does.
Now, last night, Grant, I know you saw it. I've watched some clips. Daniel Johns was on Andrew Denton's interview. Mm. How would you describe?
Uncomfortable. The whole thing from start to finish. You're clearly watching someone who's suffering with extreme anxiety. And to hear that he has enormous stage fright, like petrifying stage fright, considering how many stadiums he's rocked all over the world for how many years was hard watching, hard going.
Let's have a listen to Daniel Johns talk about this.
I have had a pretty serious anxiety disorder for 15 years. and it got really bad at a point, and I was not coping and didn't know how to deal with it. And since then I've done therapy and a lot of stuff like medication to stop shaking and, you know, lots of panic. I was just panicked. I was constantly panicked.
He looked panicked during the interview, to be honest.
It's rough.
Oh, no. But, well, look, at least he's getting help, obviously, and that's good. We'll be covering off more royal wedding.
Now, 7:30 tonight, it started up again. House Rules is back, and the host, Joanna Griggs, joins us. Hello, Jo.
Hello. Thank you very much.
I'm expecting you to come in and start a fight with us. Do you want to start a fight? I was so proud of you.
Not till the end of the interview.
Amazing. I mean, we just have to briefly talk. Obviously, off of Commonwealth Games, you were just spotting dimes and holding people accountable.
One of my friends said to me, gosh, now all of Australia knows the look that your husband and kids get when they're in trouble.
Will we be seeing any of that on House Rules, Jo?
Look, I have to occasionally rein the teams in, but they're pretty good. They're a good bunch. We've got 7 teams this year. And look, it's for them, it's just such a baptism of fire every year. They all imagine that they know what it's going to be like. And I meet them before we go to air and I say, because I'm there to hold their hand the whole way through the series and the whole way when it plays out and all through the perils of social media. And then they can stay in touch afterwards if they want. But I do it because I worry about their welfare. And I say to them, pretty much, there's 2 rules. If you don't say it, they can't use it. And their second thing to remember is that if you think that you can keep up a facade, I can absolutely promise you, you cannot with a camera in your face 16 hours a day in the pressure cooker situation you get thrown into.
Jo, you should run a reality. That is such good advice for all contestants.
They can't use
that. That is amazing. You could run a school for reality television contestants.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the producers like that I say that to them. To be perfectly honest, they forget. I mean, they just
key,
get caught up in
that's
it.
That's the key.
It's such a weird situation.
Things have got pretty hectic because there was an injury, falling beam and a broken collarbone, which I can't believe it doesn't happen more often. Mm. But what happened in this scenario?
Well, there was a beam that obviously they thought was secured up on a second story of the auction home, and it wasn't secured. And Carolyn Burns McGrave, who's our design mentor, was walking through and it fell the full 2 stories, and she broke a collarbone and a couple of ribs, so it was pretty serious. But to be honest, it's a great reminder of workplace safety, and it absolutely scared the bejesus out of the teams and to be perfectly honest, the production as well. So thankfully she's okay and she's been right there throughout the whole series, you know, holding their hand. So happy ending.
This show's my worst nightmare. The thought of handing my keys over to some amateur designers to do my house and you're stuck with whatever they do. There is no way.
I reckon most of the time they actually do a pretty good job. There is one house this series that Dan said, I got the pictures and the vision on the last day and just roared with laughter for 20 minutes and just said to them, thank you for the laugh, which didn't go down that well, but it was just like, it kind of looks like a bordello, one of the homes. But the rest of them, they actually do it quite tastefully. It does come down to the house rules and the colours and the inspiration.
Can I give you a suggestion, Joe? Yes. Because of these renovation shows, because on Foxtel, they run old episodes of Selling Houses. which I really enjoy because they always do the funniest thing where Andrew Wintour, the host, is if this show is so old that his shirts are strobing because it was before HD. That's how old the show is, Joe, right? Now, you've been on television since 1993, so you remember these old days of aspect ratios and big hair and all that type of thing. And they do this thing where there was an episode the other day and they were like, we've got a house in Point Pipe. It was like this amazing house and we're hoping to get over $1.2 million. Oh, and it's like it's historical because you're like, that thing now is worth $5 million. Here's my idea for you. You should go back and have a historical house rules show where you show the changes in all of the design aesthetics and fashions throughout the years and how much all those joints are worth now.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I think I have actually approached Seven a couple of times. Like, we should go back and actually see some
of
the home.
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
Their attitude is we only look forward, not back.
I want to go back and see them painting over the 6 feature walls they didn't want.
To be honest,
things falling off.
Adam Dovell, who came on to Better Homes and Gardens after the year, he won in Series 2 with Lisa Lamondi's wife. And I can always remember on his social media account, they had wallpaper on every single wall. And there was just this fantastic shot he had in his lounge room where they'd ripped off the wallpaper off about 15 of the walls.
That's what I want to see.
That's what you want to see there.
Yeah. Well, look, House Rules is continuing tonight.
Yes.
7:30 on Channel 7. Hopefully no more broken bones and no use of excessive feature walls or wallpaper.
Joanna Griggs, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dale.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
It is 7:14. We are going to be crossing live to our UK correspondent for the latest on the royal wedding from over there in just a little while. But up shortly, new Australian cosmetic surgery stats. It looks as though we're going to take over America as cosmetically enhanced.
We're always looking to beat them in something.
Aren't we, though? Obesity, we were trying, and now we're having a go for cosmetic surgery. That's next. Today, we're going live to London for our UK correspondent, Peter Anderson, in a moment.
131060. It's time. Yep. Parents of Sydney, it's time to admit how much you hate taking your children to the park.
Now, when did this happen for you?
I've always hated it. Ever since I was since I have a nearly 17-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And I said to Odie was at a loose end at home. She was sitting in front of the telly and I said to her, why don't we, and I'm like, bad parenting. She's screen time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go to the park?
Yep.
And Odie turned to me, you guys, and she said, oh, I'm a bit bored of the park now. Oh my God.
Yay.
Had a breakthrough.
I dropped to my knees and I said, oh, my God, baby, thank you. I hate the park so much.
Yeah.
I have hated going to the park since the kids. Like, the worst time is, like, when they're 2 and 3.
Okay.
And that's when you have to get involved. Yes. And, like, Odette used to want to do cafes in the wooden, play jungle gym.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd have to sit under the thing and drink fake tea and eat bark. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have half a degree in interior design. Yeah, I don't want to be eating bark pretending to drink your shit coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and there's things like if they slide down the slide, you've got to be surprised. That's gravity,
well
idiot.
Done, darling.
That's going to happen anyway.
So
don't look at me to be impressed because gravity's taking effect, idiots.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there in my stained tracksuit pants looking at other zombie-eyed mothers just pretending that we're interested in what you're making in the sandpit. Here's a newsflash. It's crap, guys.
Oh.
It's crap. And other kids have weed in that sand.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't want to pretend to eat it like it's not pizza, guys.
Oh, dear idea.
So now I don't have to go anymore.
You're done.
I can officially.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How
thank
would you like to redirect that time? You can do anything. You've just got like a quarter of your life back.
I'm drunk with the power.
Yeah.
And I would burn down every park in this country if I had the opportunity.
There you go.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Scorched earth.
But, are you not like forgetting? There is only one positive, perhaps, maybe, if you look at it a different way about going to the park.
Oh,
it is
so
watching
boring.
Other people's kids stack it in the park.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That fun?
You know what I mean? Like the kid that goes a little bit too fast down the slide and shoots off the end.
Funny.
Good.
Hilarious. Okay. I love that. But you know what? When you're a new mother, sometimes it's your only outing for the day.
Oh,
sometimes
I see.
That's all you do. And it's a sad day when all you've achieved is a change of undies in the park.
In the park.
You know what I mean? And it's just that 4 or 5 years, that was my only bright spot, which wasn't a bright spot.
No, that's a dark spot.
I hate the park.
Yeah, well.
I hate the park.
You're not alone because there are others that are willing to say it loud and proud.
Yes. 131060, if you want to hate the park with me, go.
Kelly from Tempe, you're on the line. What would you like to say?
Kelly, what's the name?
I hate the park because it's boring as batshit.
Yes.
So boring.
And I have done it for 11 years, and my four-year-old, I'm just blatantly honest now, and I tell her, I hate the park. Let's pick something else. I don't like the park.
Interesting.
And now, even the poor angel gets invited to birthday parties. And, of course, at her age, let's have a cheap party. Let's host it at the park. Then you can play and supervise your own child. So now we have other activities on when those parties are on as well.
I love the blanket ban on any park activity.
Yeah, you're out, Kelly.
Okay,
well played.
That's great. Okay.
Riley's from Botany. Yep. Riley, what would you like to say?
I hate the park.
Yeah. Why is that, right? Why, Riley? Here why?
Voice. I'm like too bloody unfit to run after a 6 and a 3-year-old who thinks he's friggin' Usain Bolt and runs away.
Yeah, that's fair enough, it's Riley.
True. He thinks he's friggin'
Usain Bolt. He thinks he's Usain Bolt, this kid.
It's true. And, you know, you can't not look at them because something will bloody happen when you look at your phone. And you can't even sit on your phone now because you get judged. If there are other people in there who are involved with their children and you're sitting looking at your phone while your kid's, you know, doing something boring, you get judged.
Yeah, you're an inactive parent then. Oh, you get labelled. Yeah.
Kathy is from Menai. Kathy, what would you like to say?
Hi, my name's Kathy and I'm 33 and I found sex ed. I have a 4, a 3 and a 2-year-old and I hate the park.
What do you hate about it, Kathy?
Oh, the whole thing, they should be banned.
I agree.
They need sensors.
I agree.
Centres?
Yep.
Like on Manus Island kind of thing? Or
no, like a farm.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
And open a thirsty camel across the road from every single park.
Great idea. Lush gift packs for everybody. Thank you for your time. Go to London next for our UK correspondent. It's time to cross now live to our royal correspondent, Peter Anderson. Peter, how is this Markle disaster being seen in London?
Good morning to you guys. Yeah, incredible over here in the UK. Most weddings, you have the fear that the bride or groom will be jilted by their potential partner. Here in the UK, there are fears that the bride will be jilted by her father. This is the remarkable development. Thomas Markle Sr., who just 24 hours ago, it appeared, had pulled out of attending his daughter's wedding. He is due to walk her down the aisle in Windsor on Saturday. He was said to have pulled out because he didn't want to embarrass his daughter because of the staged photos that we talked about just a couple of days ago where he colluded with a paparazzi photographer. It now appears he has backtracked and he says he wants to be at the wedding. He would hate the idea of missing what he describes one of the greatest moments in history, but it all depends on whether his doctors will allow him because he says he has serious heart problems. So it's down to the doctors as to decide to whether Meghan Markle will be walked down the aisle by her father.
So dramatic. And obviously, Samantha Markle has, she's made her presence known. Have you seen her? She's dyed her hair brown. She's had some facial surgery done and looking a lot like Meghan.
It's incredible. This has been the makeover to end all makeovers. I think she's wanting to go for the respectable look. She's gotten more demure, more conservative.
She's wearing pearls.
Hoping perhaps that she'll get a last-minute invitation to the wedding. Is not going to happen. And I have to say, Em, in the past couple of days, she has been described here on British UK to her, British TV to her face as being a vulture. The UK media don't like this woman, and I don't think she'll be there in Windsor.
She sounds like she's working the press pretty hard over there. Does she stand to actually make a lot of money out of doing this?
Well, it's interesting. These staged photos that we saw a few days ago and in over recent weeks, it is believed that it was actually not Thomas Sr. who was behind this, but that it was Samantha Markle who convinced her father to set up the photos. We believe that those photos were sold around the world for, people estimate, between maybe $180,000 to $200,000. It was initially thought that all the money went to the paparazzi, but this is now being suggested, still to be confirmed, that maybe the Markle family, and particularly Samantha, got some financial benefit from this. She's written books. She has sold her story so many times. She has certainly made a penny or two out of her rather more illustrious half-sister.
which who she hasn't seen for 10 years. Yes. She did admit that on television as well, Peter. And so the royal response to this on their side, are they remaining completely silent about all this?
They are. I think a dignified silence is probably the best way to describe it. They don't want to get dragged into this, particularly when we, what, have 3-4 days until one of the royals' brightest sparks, Harry, walks down the aisle, becomes a married man. And I think the royals are desperately keen to keep out of this. They want this to be a celebration. They don't want the both families mired in sensationalist coverage as they see some of the headlines over recent days and weeks. But what is problematic for the royals is they, as we have discussed before, have been calling on the press, on the paparazzi, to leave the families alone. Mm. When you have actually Thomas Markle and his daughter Samantha Markle actually working with the paparazzi, it rather cuts that down in shreds.
Yes, isn't there someone that they can send, you know, a man in a suit that just goes scoop up Thomas Markle Sr., help him find an outfit, put him on a plane and just protect him from Samantha? Surely there's someone at the palace who has that role of a fixer.
There must be. They have enough people on the staff. I'm sure there must be a doorman or a butler who can do that. I have to say, though, there is speculation that if he does not come to London, then obviously the mother, Doria, may well sort of walk her daughter down the aisle. There's even suggestion that Prince Charles could step in, and some people suggesting we could see Meghan walking down on her own. That could be unprecedented.
That would be very sad.
A bold statement. Might look a little bit sad, I agree.
So how is the UK dealing with this? Because does it feel like it's spoiling the party? Like, is it detracting from the pomp and ceremony and tradition of what is a big event for the UK? Is it an unnecessary sideshow?
It is, and I think it is dominating headlines here, whereas traditionally in the build-up to weddings for the royals, there's talk about the flowers, that's about the wedding cake, lots of speculation about the dress. That's being talked about, but it's all nudged down the agenda, and it seems to be the wonderful Markle show, this sideshow that is dominating headlines, names that people in the UK had never heard of just a few weeks or months ago. These people are grabbing the headlines, and it's all becoming a little bit of a sideshow.
I think that's
sad for the couple.
It is. And why do I feel like the Queen is worried that this is Fergie all over again? This is starting to feel like someone coming in from the outside.
Sucking some toes.
Peter Anderson, our royal correspondent live from the UK. We'll catch up with you later in the week, mate. Thanks for your time.
Look forward to it. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
At 8:37, speaking of weddings, we have our royal wedding dress party at Luna Park tonight. There are a couple of invites left as we're giving away a trip to Vanuatu. Thanks to airvanuatu.com and two beautiful friends of ours, Shane and Catherine. They proposed on air and they're getting married live tonight.
Incredible.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app. Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
At 16 minutes past 8, you shot a $10,000. Grant, who have you got for me this morning?
Gabby from Cronulla is on the line. Gabby, how you doing? You've made it through.
Good, thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can get you some cash.
I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not good.
Oh, that's okay. See if you can just calm yourself down, take some deep breaths. Remember, this is just a good bit of fun.
Yes.
If we can get you some cash, what would it help towards?
Oh, look, I was telling the person I spoke to before that I've got a boyfriend that hasn't proposed to me. I'm getting a little bit sick of waiting, so I'm going to propose to him, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
You take that power back, girlfriend.
Yeah,
just
that's
so
right.
I understand, if you win $10,000, you'll propose to your boyfriend.
I'm a little bit... Yes, I think so.
Yay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good. Good, have a go.
Here we go.
Okay, Gabby, here we go. 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter N. N for Nelly.
Okay. Right.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions. You've got that. Each question you get right, you'll score $100 with the chance to win up to 10 grand. And we know what happens then, don't we? Proposal time. We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer
twice. Can we get Gabby's boyfriend up, please? Can we get him on hold just in case?
That's a good idea. Okay. And the adjudicator's word will be final. Gabby, your letter is N. Here we go.
Okay.
Name an African country.
Nigeria.
Foxtel Channel.
Nickelodeon.
A makeup brand.
Napoleon.
Sydney Beach.
Narrabeen.
Fictional character.
Ned Flanders.
NRL team.
New Zealand Knights.
An Australian River.
Newcastle Knights.
Australian River.
Nepean.
Something you read.
A novel.
You were good.
You were good.
Oh, man.
Novel? Did I get that? Is that 10?
No, honey.
Oh, no.
You attacked it pretty hard, and you will take home 600 bucks, Gabby.
600 bucks.
Good. Cheers, squad.
Thank you. And thanks so much.
Boyfriend's
Look,
on the line.
I don't know
line.
If he gets the proposal from 600 bucks.
No, that's for you. That's Gabby's money. Well played. We'll do this again. Same time tomorrow. You shot at $10,000. We are actually, as part of the fun tonight, we are going to have an actual wedding. When we spoke to Catherine, I believe she's on the line. Hi, hi, Catherine.
Hi, how you going?
Oh, we're going well. How are you?
Oh, frantic.
It's your wedding day, Catherine. It's the big day.
It's the big day. Now, what have you left? So
I know, Joel. I know you've had to plan a wedding in 4 days. Now, we know you've got your dress.
Yeah,
now,
Velos Bridal have made Catherine's beautiful wedding dress. Head to velosbridal.com.au. They jumped on straight away, which was so beautiful of them, Catherine.
And you visited Velos
Maria.
Bridal. Yes, I'm Maria.
Yes, Maria is a miracle worker. That lady, I tell you, she's lovely. And she designed my dress, made it in 4 days.
Wow.
I arrived at her house on Friday. She had two rolls of fabric sitting there, and she says, pick a colour. And I chose a colour. And she says, pick your lace. So I pick my lace, and she goes, right, do you want knee length, full length? I'm like, I'll have knee length. I'll have full length. And then she goes, right, let's do this. 5 days. She has my dress finished.
Oh, amazing. Catherine.
Can't wait to see it tonight. It's going to be debuting tonight at Luna Park. Now, you've and your lovely partner, Shane, who's on the line. G'day, Shane.
Hi, how you going?
No, I'm all right.
Oh, Shane. I understand that, Shane, you popped the question again properly, not on live radio over the weekend.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh,
wait for Catherine to get home from work.
That's good, mate.
You've got your suit, a beautiful suit supplied by Ferrari Formal Wear. So that's tonight. You're going to scrub up a treat.
Mm.
You've got two kids together. You've got Hayden and Charlotte, plus Caitlin and Harley from previous relationships. So it's a mixed family of four. And
modern-day Brady Bunch.
It is.
What about your dad? Like, have we got a full compliment coming down? Is he going to come to walk you down the aisle?
Yes. Yes, my dad will be there. Shout out to Trevor.
Cool. Trev.
That's
hey,
good.
Trev.
Well played, Trev.
Hey, Shane, I understand you proposed with not just any old ring.
No, it was my mum's engagement ring that I used.
Oh,
this is so special.
This is going to be amazing tonight. You guys, you're getting married tonight.
So exciting.
That's lovely. All right, we will see you there. There are a couple of tickets left. 13 10 60 if you would like to come to our Royal Wedding Dress with a Wedding Party tonight. Also, let's not forget there's going to be a trip to Vanuatu given away. Vanuatu, how far away is it, Grant?
Oh, 3.5 hours.
Less than.
You'll be on the beach, my friend.
Yep.
Sipping pina coladas, just swinging in a hammock.
All right. AirVanuatu.com. Samantha Jade's going to be performing as well. That's all coming up tonight. 13 10 60 if you want to join us. You will find us at Luna Park tonight for our wedding party with an actual wedding.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of spots left. So 13 10 60 if you'd like to come along. Samantha Jade's going to be performing. Catherine and Shane are going to be there getting married for real.
Yeah, I'll be holding the rings.
Yeah, giving away a holiday. Yes, mm-hmm. Sir Grant is our official page boy. But Grant, you're not going with anyone, are you? You don't have a plus one, do you?
No, it's just me. I'm going solo. Will you be my plus one?
No, it's been a bit of conjecture off air. I think there's a caller on the line that wants to say something. Hello, caller.
Hello, it's Gavin from Double Bay here. Yes, I am definitely a woman. Thank you for asking. Grant Denia, I'm ringing to ask whether or not you'll be my plus one to the wedding dress party tonight. Mm-hmm. As you know, I deeply hate your radio program, but have secured a ticket. I had my houseboy send you a facsimile of the night I had planned, but haven't heard back, so here I am, forced to use the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight you will arrive at my Spanish villa in Double Bay at promptly 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. You will be put into a sailor's outfit and given a big lollipop. Then I will take a wax ostrich feather that I have dipped in more wax so it's nice and firm, mm-hmm. and then I will shove it into your mouth.
Oh.
I will then place you on top of my head and we will parade through the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton Double Bay as people grab their pearls and exclaim, there's Gavin, definitely a woman. And look at her, she's turned the host of Family Feud into millinery. After that, we shall skip the party and head to a storage cupboard at the Double Bay Sailing Club,
okay.
where I will do to you what I did to Rene Rivkin in 1986 and then again in 1989. If you accept these terms, please send me back an electronic mail. My address is gavin.underscore.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely.definitely. which is also part of the evening I had planned. See you then.
Is Gavin coming tonight?
I don't know.
Is there a chance that maybe Gavin could be there?
Wow, incredible.
Well, you
in the same place at the same time.
That
is there security
amazing.
At this event tonight? Please.
Yeah, you might need it.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ned. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.